Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, May 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back one of the all-time greats, Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, Gilderland, Troy, New York City, India. Anissa is a world traveler, an entrepreneur, a cookbook author, a creator of dishes that'll blow your mind. Flavors from around the world. It's a Moroccan restaurant, ostensibly. But there are so many tastes from so many places. The number to call if you want to talk food with Anissa, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Anissa Waheed, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen with locations in Schenectady, Gilderland, Troy, New York City. Tara has been a staple of the region's culinary scene for years, and Anissa is a force of nature, made it through the pandemic and thrived, and continues to this day to do amazing things. She's the author of a cookbook entitled Easy Moroccan Cookbook. She's currently working on a pilot program for local school districts to combat xenophobia through food. She has partnered up with Aramark to do food on the institutional level at cafeterias. She is a great favorite on this show. She is a font of knowledge. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org as we roll along. Anissa Waheed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Ray. Great to see you.
You know, you and I were chatting here before the program, and I got to say, I'm feeling pretty down. I mean, you know, usually you're very upbeat, but these are not easy times for restaurateurs.
These are not easy times. Yeah. You know, and every time I look at the news, I read something either on Facebook, Instagram, whatever you have it, it just seems like, you know, it's not good news overall, right? There's lots of stuff happening in the industry, lots of stuff happening in the world, lots of stuff happening in the economy. All of it affects us as people who are in the service industry, customer forward, you know. So it's been challenging.
You know, it's so funny because, I mean, even when you were on during the pandemic, you were a bright beacon of optimism and you kept rolling and you expanded and the restaurant just kept on rolling.
Yeah.
And this is another situation. It's not the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a pain in the backside.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a good point. And I'll tell you what the difference between that and today for me on a very personal level is, right? When the pandemic happened, and I don't know why, but I always sort of felt that this is something that has happened to us. And there are people involved who are trying to very quickly fix this. They're going to fix it and we're going to come out of it, right? So I had that sort of thinking and optimism. And again, we never ever shut anything down during the pandemic. We were open through it, you know, all of those kind of things grew, all that kind of stuff. And never for a moment did I think, man, I need a break or I would. And in fact, Josh and I were talking about this the other day. We are probably one of the two people in the capital region who never had a day off, even during the pandemic.
It's amazing.
Because we were open the entire time. But this feels very, very different. So this is not just about inflation. This is not just about, you know, an economic downturn. This is not about, a softening of the market or people not going out to dine. This feels in some ways like an attack on humanity, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Explain.
Because
I feel a little bit.
You know, as a brown Muslim woman and, mother of teenage daughters, and you know, when you see the stuff that's happening, when you see the wars, and you know, just the rhetoric that's coming out on politics and on the news, and just people, your neighbors, your schools, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
that's when you start to feel, I think, very differently on an emotional level than what the pandemic was. Okay, here's a disease, here's a bacteria or a virus or whatever, and there's a cure for it. But how do you sort of, I know we will come out of it. We have to, and there will, you know, there will be different times, but this is challenging.
You know, it's funny. It's on an emotional level for all of us.
Yeah.
But for someone like you who provides all of these great foods all over the world, essentially, it's a bottom line issue too.
100%.
And the bottom line is okay. But, and this is one of the reasons I've been so amazed by you. I brought it up before. During the pandemic, you expanded. You were a juggernaut, okay? A lot of restaurants went belly up for good.
Yeah.
And it's funny. You were talking about some of the trends in society that have nothing to do with the war or any of the harsh rhetoric we're hearing all over the place.
Yeah.
You were talking about changing habits of customers.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating.
You know, I think one of the reasons we've been around for such a long time, I mean, I myself sometimes marvel at the fact that I've been doing now this for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I started out in 2006. So I think one of the reasons why we have been around is because we really study people. You know, I've said this before, we're in the people business, not in the food business, right?
Yeah.
And food is just a vehicle to get to people. And I really, truly believe in comfort. I believe in, like, when people eat my food, you know, the comfort that they feel, the comfort they express within each other to me, all of that stuff, you know, that is really critical and important to me. So we are constantly understanding, what do people want? How do we get it to them in a way that they need it? All of those things, while still trying to figure out how to stay, you know, in the black, or at least, you know,
sort of on the line,
sort of on the line, and still be creative, all of those things. And there's a huge shift just happening, you know, post pandemic, there was a shift in how people were dining, where they were dining, you know, lunch as we know it kind of disappeared and changed and evolved. Dining changed and all of those things happened, right? But now there's like a whole different shift that trends that we're seeing in the market, which is since I think marijuana went legal.
They drink less.
They're drinking less, smoking more.
I saw that news, yeah.
All the restaurants are contrarily doing it. Like, you know, we can't have marijuana cookies on our menu,
no,
right?
But so, you could serve Cheetos, I mean, clearly, right?
Right, exactly. So there's, you know, a market shift there with...
That's so interesting. You're not really focused on alcohol.
I'm not. No, we've never been an alcohol-driven business at all. I think it's a small part of our business. But, you know, I think all the trends affect it, right? Like everything that's happening affects a restaurant.
Yeah.
So, and it's also always a group decision. For when I say that, I mean, you know, there's four of you. If one of you says, you know what, no, I don't want that, then all four of you are going to the other place, right? So that happens with the cuisine type. It happens with the atmosphere. It happens with, I mean, even in my own family, there are four of us, and we're constantly playing to the, you know, squeakiest wheel and what
you
wants.
Have to be in charge. I mean, who's kidding who? You make the call, right?
But my point is, you know, in those group decisions, like, you know, things start to kind of change, right?
Yeah.
So with the alcohol change, with people on these diet pills, and
has that really affected the GLP-1s?
I think it's affected the industry. I've actually heard in New York City, I spend a lot of time in New York City, I've heard of places actually doing menus designed for these GLP dieters. Smaller menus, small quantities of food. I haven't personally seen any of it, but I've definitely heard and people talk about it. So that's sort of changing and shifting how people are eating and dining. Of course, cost of goods and, you know, everything that's happening, like tomatoes, $96 a case right now. You know, it was, I think, $24.99 last year. That's
so it's
dramatic.
A bit of a jump. Yeah. Well,
that's a dramatic jump.
You got to hope that is a temporary thing.
True. But how many places have enough cash flow hang on for those quote-unquote temporary phases? And what does temporary mean? So for somebody like me, temporary could be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Am I able to hang on? Sure. Okay. I'll figure something out. You know, a smaller shop or, you know, somebody starting out, temporary could be 1 month, 2 months, and then they're out, right? So
yeah.
I think that's what people need to think about.
You know, it seems like this, compared to the pandemic, and in the pandemic, there were attempts by the feds to help businesses stay alive. It seems like this is almost a more amorphous situation.
Yeah.
You have a perfect storm of things going on. You have high costs for what you do. You have changing trends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that will change over time, including the trends.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the Gen Zers will figure out that, you know, having a cocktail with dinner is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
This seems like, if we see some of the remaining restaurants go belly up now, they may not come back.
Yeah. I just yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone on social media about, hey, if your local small-owned restaurant is still around, please go support them, right? Because this is actually worse than anything that we have seen, we've heard. It's been such a silent killer. So many places shutting down, so many places not able to come back. And not just that, but sort of the industry is kind of is crippling and with no end in sight or no hope. And that, so, yeah, it's, you know.
You put a finger on it. It's the question of hope.
Yeah.
We all need a little bit, you know. We'll take a break. Anissa Waheed and I are in kind of a dark place.
We'll lighten it up.
See if we can do a reset. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday. It's supposed to be a happy occasion, and we'll try to do that. Food Friday on WAMC, 800-348-2551. A reminder, the lockbox is open, my friends. If you can kick in a little bit right now, it'll make our June fun drive that much shorter. It's WAMC.org. We need you. If you love this place, if you love this spot on the dial, if there's something you love, kick in a couple bucks. And you can do it at WAMC.org. It'll shorten the fun drive, which, by the way, is coming in a couple of weeks either way. So, you know, do what you can. Anissa Waheed is our guest from Tara Kitchen. Before we move on to the amazing food that you always bring. Just one more comment about the pandemic, but it's positive.
Okay.
Because what you did at Tara Kitchen was so magnificent because of the comfort it gave in a very, very scary time for all. You didn't shut down. You had great food, and it made people feel better. And the reason I bring it up here is because your home program is also trying to accomplish something that has a spiritual and goodness to it. And just explain it, because I know it's going to be kicking in for real in June.
You know, thank you for bringing up that parallel. It actually makes me feel good.
Good. See, we're trying to lighten the mood.
The mood is light. And, you know, the Medical Warriors program that I had created back then with delivering food for the hospitals, and so many people helped out with that, was fantastic. It came out of a need for what was happening in our society at that time. And exactly the same way the home program also has come out, because of the need that I saw in our current environment, and this idea of kids, you know, piggybacking on what they're hearing and seeing. And, you know, this generation of kids, more so than ever before, has so much access to information. And somehow in our heads, we always think it's always good information.
It's very rarely.
And I think that's the case. It's very rarely is it good, right? So I was starting to see and hear a lot of things coming from the schools, from what my kids were telling me, what other people's kids were telling me, adults talking, you know, all of us just sort of thinking about what's happening. And the home program basically is something, it's an acronym for honoring our many experiences. and the idea that this is home for everybody and anybody who's here. I don't want to get into the politics of legal, all of that stuff.
This is fine. It's understood and it's implicit. Yeah. And you did a pilot program.
Yeah. Well, it was the idea of the program is to try and teach kids about diversity and inclusion using food.
Right.
And that food comes from all over the world, and we wouldn't love our favorite French fries if they didn't come out of South America, right? Or tomatoes or mangoes or whatever it is.
Wait, French fries came out of South America?
Well, potatoes did.
Ah, okay. All right. I ain't too bright. Continue.
I put this program together, and then I was trying to like talk to schools and stuff about it, like how do we kind of bring this into the school, into the schools, and have kids understand what it is, all of those kind of things. So yeah, I mean, through a series of meetings and interventions and support and help and all of that stuff, we're going to be piloting the program on June 22nd. At the Albany School of Humanities.
How cool is that?
It's super cool, very exciting. Yeah. And part of this program also is to bring international food into the cafeteria. So I'm working with the cafeteria team to actually bring in more international type of cuisines. And, you know, we touched a little bit about this last time. We have a map that goes up in the cafeteria showing kids where food comes from, ingredients come from, and hopefully, you know, in a sort of non-judgmental way, we're teaching kids of how, you know, this plate of food on you, this food on your plate is basically, you know, worldly, and how it, and that's the group of friends that you have.
That is amazing. And the food will be better than I had in school in the 70s. We had tuna sailboats.
It's a small step, and I'm excited, and I'm happy, and, you know, but I think it's...
But you're not hitting the kids over the head with the message.
Correct.
It's an incremental thing saying, hey, this other part of the country or this other part of the world is amazing in its own right.
Yeah.
It's not a curse. It is a blessing that we are all here.
Yeah. And also, you know, this also kind of subconsciously came to me because I can't tell you how many hundreds of people I've met over the course of the past 20 years who have told me we've never had Moroccan food, but now we're eating Moroccan food. It tastes amazing. It's so great. Where is it? What is it? Oh, and then some people come back and say, hey, we took a trip to Morocco because of the food we ate here. And that entire dialogue, that food diplomacy that's happening in our dining rooms on every, you know, daily basis is basically where home comes from.
Well, this is great. And so it'll be June 22nd at Albany Humanities School. And is there a plan to go further with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a year-long program.
Really?
And we're talking to other schools and other districts. And we have lots of meetings and all of that kind of stuff happening as we speak. So including in New York City, actually. This is something that I'm very much involved in every single day.
You bucking for that Nobel Prize?
Oh, gosh, no.
No, you sure?
No.
Okay. It might work.
No.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Anissa Waheed is here from Tara Kitchen. All right, listen, you brought all this amazing food.
Yeah.
And you did send me the details on this some weeks ago, which I didn't print, and I forgot all about until you walked in. You are doing something really cool on June 9th. Explain.
Yes. I mean, this is definitely one of those pinch me moments. I'm going to be presenting a dinner at the James Beard Foundation's dining room.
Nice.
How'd
you work that out?
I didn't. I do some work for the JBF Foundation. I'm one of their legacy advisors, and I do a lot of sort of advisement, working with, you know, new people in the industry, and I've done programs with them. So it's not that I'm an unknown name to them. And with the World Cup happening in the city, they contacted me because Morocco and Brazil are playing on June 13th.
Uh-huh.
And they said, hey, sort of never done this thing. Well, I guess this is the first time the World Cup is playing in the city.
I think so. I don't really follow the football that you call football.
Yeah, neither. I don't follow any sports.
All right. Oh, really?
So they said, how would you feel about presenting a dinner with a Brazilian chef and you guys present a Morocco-Brazil meal.
Wow.
I mean, it's not a competition. It's not, you know, it's not meant to be, but it's to honor these two countries and bring the flavors of these two countries together. So that's literally what we're doing. We're going to have a five-course meal that he's presenting his five courses from Brazil. I'm presenting five courses from Morocco. They're kind of going to go down the dining room at the same time. We've obviously worked together to make sure it's all complimentary and feels like one meal.
Yeah.
But it will be from two different countries. And
Do you know this Brazilian chef?
Now I do.
Yeah. Get along?
He's fantastic.
Okay, there'll be no fisticuffs of any kind?
All right. He's lovely.
Well, you brought some great stuff. So all five courses are represented here.
Yeah, they are. So we have the cigars, which are filled with...
You brought cigars.
Yeah.
That's food. Okay.
It's lamb. Yeah, they're lamb cigars. they're actually called bitterwats. I'm kind of dumbing down the names.
But thank you. Well, it works for me. So good for you.
We have some cigars. We have an eggplant dip with a whipped feta cheese and crackers.
Nice.
I have a bastilla.
That looks interesting.
This is a chicken pie in Morocco, traditionally made with pigeon. And it's one of the most well-known delicacies of Morocco. It's a sweet, savory pie, leaning more on the sweet side, but made with meat. It's got saffron, cinnamon, sugar, almonds, raisins, eggs.
That sounds amazing.
Mine's made with chicken. So we have chicken, a little bit of smen, which is fermented butter. So there are a lot of different ingredients. And you would think that this whole idea of a sweet chicken pie is not going to work.
Is this the second course? What order are we going?
Yes. So this is a canapé. This is a pass.
The cigars.
Yeah, the cigars. Oh, and then, that's the first course, the salad, the beet, fennel, and orange salad.
Well, you make a great salad single time.
So that, and then this will be second, which is the bastilla. And then we have the Maruzia, which is a lamb tagine made with apricots and prunes, honey.
I've had that, right?
Have I? At some point, possibly.
Yeah. We've done so many shows.
So many shows. Yeah. And that's an iconic Moroccan dish. And, you know, I think my counterpart, Victor, is doing a Brazilian steak.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to kind of do this red meat pairing thing. And, you know, that's how... the La Maruzia, came about, and then that's going to be served with some vegetables and couscous and stuff, and then a milk pudding.
Oh,
this is a recipe that I learned in India from the wife of the Moroccan ambassador to India. She came to Hyderabad to visit, and she said to me, "Hey, do you mind if I do something in the kitchen?" And I said, of course.
Wow.
Yes. And she literally cooked a meal for me, which was fantastic. And one of the things that she did was this milk pudding. And she taught me how to make it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So our guest today is Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen, who will be premiering, if you will, a home program for real at Albany Humanity School June 22nd. Also on June 9th is going to be fighting it out with a Brazilian chef at the James Beard Foundation. It'll come down to penalty kicks, right? At the end? The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's jump quickly to the phone. Susan is in Sunderland, Mass. Susan, you're on.
Hi, Anissa. Thank you for being on today. It sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
And I was calling to ask about if you could... share an interesting recipe, not too complicated, for just plain couscous.
You mean for the couscous itself or for the stew that goes on the couscous?
For something to go with couscous.
Yeah, you know, something super, super simple. You can take carrots, potatoes, some cauliflower, eggplant, zucchini, peppers, and something that we do in the restaurant is we roast all of those vegetables up, and you cook it down, simmer it down with a simple tomato sauce. You could even maybe use a marinara and just add some Ras Al Hanout spices, or if you can grate some tomatoes, grate some onions, add some Moroccan spices, like Ras Al Hanout, or just some paprika, cumin, coriander. Simmer all of that together with a little bit of chickpeas, honey, and some almonds. It's actually pretty easy. Yeah, that's all you really need to put on top of some couscous.
It's easy for you. Susan, is it easy for you?
Chickpeas, almonds, and honey. Wow,
yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It's really, really great. I'm literally giving you the recipe we use in the restaurant.
Uh-oh.
So
no one listen.
And what are the Moroccan spices? What would that be?
Super simple stuff that you have at home would probably be like paprika, cumin, coriander, some dry ginger. That's a good one if you have that. Fenugreek leaves. And then, you know, a small bit of garam masala, which is, I know, Indian, but the cinnamon, cloves.
Actually, I have that.
There you go. So if you have some garam masala, marry that up with some paprika, cumin, coriander, ginger, and black pepper. And all of that together, you get Ras Al Hanout. There you go. You
got two
recipes.
Would that be dried ginger or fresh?
Dry. Always dry.
Why?
Always. I think because in Morocco, the fresh ginger is too bright and almost spicy.
Yeah.
Whereas the dry ginger has the flavor, but is a little bit more subdued.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right, Susan.
Thank you so much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Of course.
Thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Our guest is Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen. And you know, it wouldn't be an Anissa Waheed appearance if we didn't hear from Joan from Schenectady. Hello, Joan. How are you?
Hello, my friends. How are you both?
We're great, Joan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was listening to the first part of the show, and I said, I have to call in to lighten it up. Oh, my goodness. And that made me remember, I need to lighten up my diet a little bit. I've gotten so strong on the carbs, the rice, the pasta, the bread. Uh-huh. I love bread. And my body is telling me, no, thanks. Mm. So I need to make, this is funny for a vegetarian, but I need to make my diet more vegetable forward. So I'm looking just for more exciting things to do with vegetables that get away from putting it on top of any kind of bed of carbohydrates.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, are you looking for Moroccan recipes specifically, or?
I'm a very eclectic eater when it comes to flavors, and I'm not afraid to mix and match.
Joan, yeah. I have a suggestion. Why don't you go out and munch on the lawn a little bit?
I've already. Hey, it's May in the Northeast.
All right,
I'm already doing
all
that.
Right, I'll let the experts speak from now on.
You know, I think doing the stews, right? Like you could almost make like you can make vegetable stews with lots of beans and like kidney beans and chickpeas and some sort of a bean component in there that you can eat almost by itself without having the need for a carb to go with it or over, you know, under it. So I tend not to eat a lot of carbs now that I think about it. If I was eating carbs, it would mostly be rice in Indian food. But during the day, I eat a lot of just roasted vegetables because we always have them in the restaurant. Eggs and tacos, corn tacos. So yeah, I think you can do it. That would be my recommendation. Beans, vegetables, stewed together.
Okay. Hey, Joan, I have one question before I let you go. Are we going to see you at the fun drive in the first week of June?
I'm already there for the warm-up and the lockbox.
You know what? You're the best. Joan, have a lovely weekend. 800-348-2551. We're going to take a break here in a moment, and then we'll go back to the foods. Anissa Waheed is our guest. And going back to the very morose open to the show, the first 10 minutes of the show.
Was it morose, though?
No, it wasn't. It was just a little darker than usual.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Reality.
I'm a black hole. I mean, but you're very upbeat. The thing is, with restaurants having maybe issues given the trends and the economy and everything else, what about your retail business? Are you still doing that? All those things that you offer in stores?
Yeah, we still do it, but not nearly at the same scale as we even used to.
Even that has taken a hit.
Well, that was more of a decision that we made.
Yeah.
And, you know, during the pandemic, we had scaled that the retail aspect of the business down because we couldn't get the ingredients and bottles and labels and stuff. Supply chain, do you remember?
Interesting. Yes, I remember.
Such a mess.
Yep.
Guess what? It's still a mess. And right now, I still don't have lids for the bottles that I ordered like 4 months
You're
ago.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, so...
Why don't you have the kids make the lids?
I know. No, I can have the kids bottle them once the lids get here.
I think there might be some labor laws. Well, it's family. You might get away
exactly.
with it. Exactly. All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. We are joined by Anisa Waheed of Tara Kitchen. More of your calls and emails coming up. Man, that guy could play. Danny Gatton, Blues Newberg here on Vox Pop. Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Zach Malloy, who was the engineer on this program for decades, he's moved upstairs, and he's the program operator now. And he hangs around every time Anisa Waheed is here so that he can get food. And I said, Zach, come on in. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
You're going to be my designated eater today. What are you having right now? You don't even know, do you?
I don't even know, it looks amazing.
Why don't we ask Anisa what you're eating?
He's eating one of the canapes that we're going to pass around at the JBF dinner.
The JBF being the James Beard Foundation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty hoity-toity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's called a zaluk, which is an eggplant spread or an eggplant salad, actually. It's made with eggplant, a roasted eggplant, garlic, tomatoes, lots of seasoning,
okay.
A little bit of vinegar, some sugar, and then it's got some whipped feta, seasoned whipped feta with some orange blossom honey, pomegranate molasses.
Okay. So Mike Bowen, who's the new engineer here on my show, he's been around forever, can you pot him down when he chews? Because it sounds disgusting.
I'll get off Mike and chew.
All right, fair enough. Zach Malloy, our director of what are you
programming.
Doing? Programming, right? Is going to eat.
Programming operator, I believe.
All right, go ahead. Okay. And you're a longtime Anisa Waheed fan, And so here we go. And here he's chewing, and he's turned away. And yeah, give him a napkin because it's not going that well. 800-348-2551. All right, Zach, chew properly, swallow, masticate, as they say. He got it on. Did you get it on your shirt?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Anisa,
that is amazing.
Really?
Thank you.
And this was a canapé that you're giving, you're going to be handing out at the James Beard Foundation June 9th, the big dinner.
And this is the lamb bitterwort.
Zach Malloy.
I have to grab an extra
is,
one of these for Barb.
Okay.
Zach Malloy is now in heaven. This is, he has attained full Tara Kitchen. It's wonderful. 800-348-2551. While he chows on that, let's go back to the phones. It's our friend Abigail in Kingston. Hello, Abigail.
Hi. Great, great show once again.
Thank you.
Muchos años pasados. Many years ago, I ate Moroccan food sitting on the floor in a restaurant on the Upper West Side called the Blue Nile. And it was the most extraordinary food that I ever had, and the experience was extraordinary also. Anyway, so thank you. This is a fantastic show, as usual.
You know.
And if I may, I'd like to give a plug to my daughter and son-in-law's restaurant.
Well, I guess you have no choice now.
In Wellfleet, Massachusetts, called the Flying Fish Cafe.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, that's
thank
nice.
Thank you again, Ray.
Hey, Abigail.
And Waheed.
Have a great weekend, my friend. I appreciate it very much. And way to sneak in the old, we don't do advertising here on public radio.
Why Blue Nile for a Moroccan restaurant?
That's a great question. And does she have to sit on the floor? Is that normal?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not in Morocco.
Maybe Abigail had a few. It was back in the 70s.
Maybe it was Egyptian.
could be.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering why Blue Nile for a Moroccan.
I don't know, but
but then why Tara Kitchen for a Moroccan?
I don't know, but if you're not careful, Abigail will call back. So let's just drop it. Cigar
is amazing.
Yeah,
right.
So what does it taste like, Zach?
Amazingness wrapped in love.
Ah, I have a quick story about the cigars. In 2002, I was working in San Francisco.
Yeah.
This is my previous career. And after work, we all used to walk down to this little bar down the street. And every single night, I would eat these Moroccan cigars.
Yeah.
So this is long before I got into food. And that memory kind of went away. But I was obsessed with these things for years when I was working at that company at that time. And only when I started to write my cookbook did that kind of memory come back. So this is something that I've enjoyed for a very, very long time.
And what is the actual name? They don't call them cigars over
there,
right?
No, they don't call them cigars. It's a form of a birawat. Birawat is this idea of this wrapped pastry filled with different things.
Yeah.
So you can have them with chicken, you can have them with lamb and vegetables.
I'm getting a citrusy aftertaste.
I think that's the honey on the top.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Is have a little orange blossom honey with some sesame seeds.
Zach, you up for trying the pie?
You should try the chicken pie. I mean, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a yes. All right, 800-348-2551 is the number. Anissa Waheed is here. Also, Zach Malloy, who is our programming operator, I'm told, and he used to be the engineer on this program, and I like him a lot more now that he's not actually working with me. It's wonderful. 800-34, let's go to the phones. Okay, we'll go to Chris in Claremont. Hiya, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, you know, pretty good. How are you?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
I just wondered if your guest could share the recipe for the milk pudding.
Yeah, it's so simple, Chris. I was kind of blown away. I mean, we do stuff to it to sort of enhance it more than what was originally shared with me. But it's basically milk and sugar cooked together. And you know, in terms of proportion, a cup of milk and maybe, depending on how much sweetness you want, a quarter cup of sugar. And you can change that milk with either cream or heavy cream. But basically, you're going to boil this, sweeten your milk, and then you are going to whisk in a slurry of cornstarch. So take some cornstarch. Mix it in with some milk, make sure it's all liquidified, and then you put it into the milk and let it kind of thicken up. Once that thickens up, you will cool it, refrigerate it, so it sets into a pudding. Now, in terms of service, you can serve this many different ways. So I've created different types of sauces that go on it, different types of chopped nuts, different types of fresh fruits, all of that kind of stuff. But at the base of it, extremely simple. A little bit of orange blossom, a little bit of rose petals. Simple.
Where do you get? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm ignorant about such things, but you can buy orange blossoms and rose petals at stores?
Everywhere.
Really?
Now it's like such a common thing. You can buy it everywhere. But typically in Arabic cooking and, in Middle Eastern stores, Indian stores, you definitely can get it. I think Whole Foods has it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to get out more. Chris, you want to follow up?
Can you perk it up with the addition of some kind? Well, you've mentioned like rose water or
saffron, rose water,
extract.
Absolutely some vanilla. I mean, use your imagination.
Were you making this like a flan or a something like that?
Like a
thick. It's not like that thick, right?
Well, it still needs to set
Does it set in the fridge?
It sets in the fridge.
Okay.
So like a custard, and you could get really get creative with it. Put layers in the middle of different things, but it's really simple at the base of it, and then you can kind of add
Chris, thank you very much for the call. Anissa Waheed's our guest from Tara Kitchen. All right, Zach, you had the chicken pie. Your thoughts, sir?
My thoughts. First off, I got to say, I am usually not the biggest fan of mixing raisins with anything.
Really?
Okay.
Except raisin bran.
Oh.
But this, however, just blew my mind.
Right? Isn't it amazing?
That is an excellent touch.
I mean, dates and raisins and stuff, what Anissa does with these things, it's amazing.
I don't think it's me. It's the cuisine.
Well, I mean, it's the cuisine, but you do it well, right?
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to Shireen, who's in Saratoga. Shireen.
Hello, Whitman. Peace and blessings to all of you. Fantastic show.
Thank you.
And I just had a quick question to ask Anissa. I'm always the lady that you know when you see me at the farmer's market or something wanting to have greens, your Ethiopian greens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Really?
I did Ethiopian food at the farmer's market.
You remember?
She was accessing her memory bank, Shireen, just for a minute there. But she remembers.
Okay. Wonderful. So I just wanted to know, where can I get a cookbook? Or are you going to make them again some point somewhere at the restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me know.
Yeah, we're always doing something new and different. But recently, I did something called Gourmet Sabzi. For an artist she's an Iranian artist.
Turn that mic a little closer. There you go.
An Iranian artist who came to my restaurant after her art opening in Tribeca. So because she was coming for dinner, we did a Moroccan meal because that's what they wanted. But then I also made gourmet sabzi. And Shireen, maybe you should look this up. I mean, it's on my Instagram so you can see it. But it was it's basically a Persian stew of many, many different kinds of green vegetables. And it was fantastic, super tasty. Ooh. I think you will love it, especially with the summer coming up. Every green that you can get your hand on, chop it up, blend it up, you know, throw it in there. I think you'll like that.
Shireen.
Thanks a lot. Yes.
Well, if you want to follow up, go right ahead.
I am happy to hear that, and I'll be looking. I'm a dinosaur on my phone with Instagram and all that, but I'm sure someone can lead me to
Gourmet Sabzi. It, okay? Yeah, you'll love it. Gourmet Sabzi.
Gourmet Sabzi.
Thank you very much for the call, and have a great weekend. It's 800-348-2551. All right, Zach, you've tried a few things, and I notice you're digging in for that second bite. Usually when I do a show, I'll have to take a little nibble and turn the mic off and then go back.
Oh, no, I am a chomper. I go
so
all in.
So that the bastilla is so surprising, right? The sweet and crunchy and savory. I mean,
love it.
Yeah, I don't typically like that much sweet stuff, but I love eating bastilla.
Now, this is salad. I don't know if you've seen these before, right? It's a salad. Salad.
It's not like any salad you've had before.
No, it's Anissa Wahid salad. Very good. And this appears to be lamb.
I've had the lamb before.
All right, so what do you want to have now there, buddy boy?
The
salad.
Salata.
Okay, yeah, I'll try that.
All right, have some salad.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Peter in Ashfield. Peter, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just want to comment about Abigail. I think she was talking about an Ethiopian restaurant called the Blue Nile. Not a Moroccan restaurant.
Okay.
Ethiopian makes sense. Yeah,
understood.
I was thinking Egypt, but Ethiopian makes sense.
Now
there you go.
It's all coming together. Yeah. Peter, do you have any other question you want to throw in there?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Do you want me to give you Abigail's number? No. All right, fair enough. Hey, thanks for the call. Have a great
weekend.
Thanks
for clarifying that because I was astounded. I was like, why Blue Nile for a Moroccan restaurant?
Well, there you go. All right, so we only have about 5 minutes left, but if you want to jump in on the phones, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551.
Yeah, and the JBF tickets are going to go on sale in the next
day or two.
Don't
say a price. We can't, even though they're a nonprofit, we can't say the price.
I don't know what the price is.
So how would people find out about the James Beard Foundation?
You go to jamesbeardfoundation.org.
Yes.
And the tickets are on sale there. They're only 60 tickets, you guys.
Really?
Only 60 tickets.
So they're not going to be cheap. I mean, some of our well-heeled listeners might enjoy it.
It's an intimate dinner. You know, we're going to be in the dining room talking. And, you know, the menu that Victor has created is fantastic. It complements everything that I'm doing with this menu. I think it's going to be a night to remember. I think it's like a 4-hour dinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 10 courses, right? 5 from you, 5 from the
Brazilian? No, it's 5. Each, and they're going down simultaneously. So, you know, the first course, mine and his, goes down together. So I'm doing this beet salad, but he's doing a crudo.
I understand.
So family style.
But the thing is, though, you know, as you get older, and you're very young still, Zach is, you can't eat as much. Are the portions going to be pretty small?
But it's no different than eating food Thanksgiving dinner. I think even less than that.
Really?
So the idea is that, you know, there are two dishes per course. That's it.
Yeah.
So for when I do the salad, he's doing the crudo. When I do the bastilla, he's doing a vegan dish, actually. So that'll be, you know, that'll complement that. And then when I do my lamb, he'll have a steak. So it's just two at a time.
Will there be wine pairings?
Yes, there is. In fact, yeah, my wine distributor is coming in with the sponsorship for that, which is fantastic.
That is great.
That's going to be great. And I think they're going to have a Brazilian cocktail? Capri honey?
You got me swinging.
Anybody?
You're looking at the ugly American here. I don't know. If it doesn't have beer in it.
But everybody seemed to get very excited when they heard this word, except I didn't know what it was, so someone told me. But it's some sort of Brazilian cocktail that's supposed to be being presented. I think it's going to be a super, super, super fun night. I'm excited.
Okay, and once again, the website for people to find out about that? Oh, you don't even know. I thought you gave it.
James Beard Foundation.
All right, you look it up. You'll find it, right?
I'm sure that's what it is.
All right, Zach, what do you think about the salad?
How you say salad?
Salata. It's jamesbeard.org, actually.
Jamesbeard.org. Okay.
I got to do more research into these salad things. I think I like them.
Isn't it fantastic?
So,
yes.
The beets are tremendous. What is sprinkled, this crunchiness. This is pistachios. Okay.
You're not allergic, right?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
I'm good.
Otherwise, we'd get an EpiPen.
I'm good.
You know, salads in Morocco aren't the typical sort of green-based salads. They're very much of these, you know, this lightly cooked to not cooked, but sort of this pairing of beets and oranges and zucchinis and eggplants and tomatoes and peppers. A very different way to eat salads.
It's a hearty salad. It looks beautiful. Zach, you're going to be full. You're going to be able to get out of the room when we're done.
We'll see.
All right. I guess we have time maybe for one more call here. 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid is our guest. While we're waiting to get this call through the screener, and Barb King is vetting the call now to make sure it's not a nut. You know what I mean? How do people find Tara Kitchen?
We're in downtown Schenectady, 431 Liberty Street. Oh, or just go to our website, tarakitchen.com. The Tribeca website is different. It's tarakitchentribeca.com. You'll find all of our stuff there. Follow me on Instagram, Chef Anissa on Instagram, Tara Kitchen on Facebook. Yeah, I think you can find it. We just released a new menu up here, so people should come and check out the new menu.
I guess I should have asked you about that earlier. And now there's only a minute left, and we're going to go to Hal on the throughway. Hal, you only have a couple seconds here. Go ahead.
I believe the drink from Brazil is called a Capernia.
Yes!
It's a type of rum indigenous to Brazil.
Okay.
It's very good, it's almost like a mojito.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone was very excited about this.
Yeah, man, thank you for that. And I've actually had Brazilian rum, and it's very good. It's very good indeed. All right, Anissa Wahid, we're about out of time here. We'll go to Linda in Schoharie very quickly. Cliff Notes version, please, Linda.
Okay, I think I might have the name of that cocktail from Brazil.
What is that?
It might be called a caipirinha, and I'm not sure about my pronunciation.
Okay.
But it's delicious. It's made with a Brazilian rum.
Ah, you don't
it's
say.
Built from sugar cane. And
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, we got more information.
Okay, Linda,
we did
get more information out of that, and thank you very much. All right, Zach Malloy, well done, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us.
I did.
You got to clear your plate before you leave Studio A, all right?
Oh, boy.
Anissa Wahid, it's always great to have you on this program.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Support comes from Herzog's Home and Paint Centers, Kingston, Poughkeepsie, Fishkill, Albany, and Latham, specializing in Benjamin Moore paints and stains for professionals and homeowners with decorating consultants available, herzogs.com. And Amatulli Sausage Company, serving house-made sausage sandwiches, soups, and more, weekdays at lunch on Maiden Lane in downtown Albany, amatullisausage.com. All right, that's it. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to the great Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen for being here. Thanks to Michael Bowen, the engineer. Beautiful. It's food time, my friend. Barb King screened the calls. Wonderful, Barb. I'm Ray Graff. Have yourself a lovely weekend. WAMC, Vox Pop. We'll be back on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Meantime, have a great weekend.